Friday, Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmatz. Friday show. I can't get to this weekend quick enough. It started hitting me on Monday when I looked around the landscape and said, wow, so the Cardinals are going to go for 3-0 at home with the 49ers. ASU looks better, and they have USC, whose coach I think is in trouble. And U of A gets College Game Day and on ESPN, and they have UCLA. And then I've got some high school games. I was out last night at Centennial against Hamilton. What's cool about going out to a high school game, there's some of you guys are like, dude, high school's beneath me. Lighten up. That's all I'm going to say. Just enjoy life a little bit. I was on the sidelines last night. Jen Welter was out there. Dr. J, formerly with the Cardinals. And she's like a rock star now. She gave the pregame speeches at Hamilton and Centennial. But I was watching, I don't know, probably at least a dozen Division I college football players. And the sidelines just littered with current NFL guys. I'm not going to say who was out last night, but there's just a bunch of NFL guys who were there on the sidelines. So you're just kind of rapping and talking and seeing these guys coming up, and it was cool. Tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to go to either game at this point. I don't know about you. Me, it's I was at ASU-USC a couple weeks ago, and the atmosphere there just is not what I need if I'm going to go take in a game. And this is not meant by being snooty or snotty or any of that stuff. Those of you that are going, knock yourselves out. Have a great time. I get it. It's fun to be out of the college atmosphere. But gosh darn it, if I'm working, I need replays and I need stats. And I don't need to get those in a press box nowadays. I can go get those in my office, in my man cave. The days of going and sitting in a hermetically sealed press box are ancient. But the only good that goes on there is it's, I don't know, you can rap with your comrades, guys that are looking for work. Guys will saddle on up to me. How's it going over there? Do you miss being on TV? No, I don't. I like doing what we're doing now on TV over on Fox Sports Arizona. It's fine. And contributing some at Channel 12 too. So it's all good. And then Sunday I am going to the Cardinal game. I am definitely going to the Cardinal game. And it's one of those that I've got a couple of people that want me to sit. Couple people that I'd like to see and sit with, but probably sit in the hermetically sealed press box for at least part of the game, then go downstairs and do all that stuff. Because it is a social event. The NFL is a social event before the game. You go out and you meet these guys and you see old friends and just hang out. I'd like to be that guy in flip-flops, shorts, t-shirt, cap backwards that goes and screams and yells, but I don't have a team. I've never had a team. I don't have an affinity for a team. Even though I live here, I don't care. Just give me a good story. So enough about me. That's the weekend ahead. And for you, it's, wow, so many cool things going on. And I guess the one that we'll start with first is on Sunday, I'll work in reverse order here. And we'll have Good Eat the Movies coming up in about 30 minutes. Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. I saw Jimmy on ESPN the other day. I've been rapping with Jimmy about NFL lines for 20 plus years. And he's sitting there and he's got his shirt on. He's just kind of like, hey, let's talk some NFL. Hey. And they had him on SportsCenter. I think it was Wednesday. Eric and I are like, look at Jimmy getting it done. So it was good to see Jimmy. So we'll talk about the college games, the pro games. Sicario is a movie I want to talk to Bill about. I've heard it's a lot like Traffic. If you guys remember Traffic, these drug cartel movies, action drug cartel. Traffic was shot in San Diego. So part of me was, okay, I remember this place, this place, this place. You guys know how that works. If you know that there's a movie that is from where you grew up, you're looking around at it. So, but I hear it's not as good as Traffic. So I'll see if Bill is wanting to weigh in on that. He also talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Emily Blunt. And if you can talk to Emily Blunt on the phone, then it's about as good as it gets. I'm a big Emily Blunt fan, so we'll talk with Bill about that. But in reverse order, the Cardinals and 49ers, in all seriousness. So Kaepernick last week set career highs for attempts with 46 attempts and completions 33, but they only put up 18 points. So the Cardinals secondary has been really good so far this season. There's no question about it. Other than the blown coverage, I thought, in Chicago in the second quarter, they've been really good. Over the course of games, there's going to be a play here, play there. You hope as the season goes along, you don't have any of those if that is your team. So Kaepernick was able to complete a bunch, but not put up many points. And I've been talking about Kaepernick a lot, even on the TV show last night, because he came here to the Valley in the offseason to work out erratically, was in and out. I heard he'd worked out with one of the quarterback coaching guys, Dennis Guile. I was talking to Jake about that yesterday, and Kurt Warner. There's guys like Rudy Carpenter and Dennis Guile and Dan Minucci. They're all doing quarterback stuff, and there's dozens more. And I'm not joking when I say dozens more. There are guys on corners that are saying, I can teach your kid how to spin a football. I can teach your kid how to throw a football. I can teach your kid how to get to the next level. And those guys are there around fifth, sixth grade and beyond. And parents will write checks every week. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have a baseball player, you know you can go find pitching coaches around the Valley, around the state. If your daughter is a soccer player, you can go find people to train her. I've done that. I've written plenty of checks. Same with softball pitchers. I've written plenty of checks on that front. Kicking coaches, they're all over the place. All these specializations. But Colin Kaepernick came here to work with some guys in the offseason. And then Jeep Christ, who is part of the 49ers staff, worked with Kaepernick as well. What I'll be interested to see about Kaepernick on Sunday is he that patient or is he still that fleet of foot? Meaning, is he going to take off or is he going to give himself that extra second, that extra 2 seconds? Because he has the ability to run, does he need to be a better thrower? Is he more patient in the pocket? There's all sorts of different ways to look at Colin Kaepernick. I'm a fan of his. I hope the Cardinals take him down, though, on Sunday. I do. I'm not saying to get him hurt, but just you can't let him stand around back there, and you also can't let him go get his 50, 60 yards on the ground. The Steelers gave up a lot of attempts, a lot of completions, and it ended up being that not many points were scored in the game. Nothing wrong with that. On the other side of the street for the 49ers, their defense under the defensive coordinator, Eric Mangini, I was reading up there and put down some notes here, that Antonio Brown last week, I saw the highlights. Antonio Brown is like the fantasy football rock star. And Ben Roethlisberger gave a lot of looks last week, the same as you're going to see out of Carson Palmer. Kenneth Acker, their corner last week, allowed 6 catches all to Antonio Brown for 120 yards. 6 for 120. I'm the corner trying to guard you. That's not happening. 6 for 120. So you know with all the Cardinal wide receivers and the ability to spread the football around the field with their tight ends, their backs, all the different looks that they give, that when you know that there's a guy last week that got torched, that you just got to be looking for the roster that says the jersey route that says Acker on the back of it. And we'll see if it's Larry Fitzgerald, if it's John Brown, if it's Michael Floyd, if it's Jerron Brown, if it's Jermaine Gresham, if it's Darren Fells, if it's Chris Johnson. You know, you can go right down, David Johnson, you can go right down the list of all these names. And there's just a lot of different directions for Carson Palmer to go. I've said this throughout the week, the Cardinals should win this game. The pressure really this week is on the Cardinals, isn't it? If you think about it, it's pretty simple here. It's a divisional game. It's your first divisional game. It's a home divisional game, okay? A home divisional game, you don't go out and crap the bed in a home divisional game, especially when you're the better team. Now, the 49ers looked rock solid defensively against Minnesota. There's no question about it. But last week, they got absolutely torched. And if you're the Cardinals, I agree with Bruce Arians. You haven't done bleep. It's very true what he said earlier this week. You haven't done bleep. You've beaten two teams that aren't very good. You've given up some plays along the way. They could play much better and much cleaner. Now do they start to come back to earth a little bit? Does this 2-0, if they lose at home to the 49ers, a divisional game at home, a home loss within the division, there's no other way to put it other than it would be bitterly disappointing. Especially when the team you're playing just got crushed a week earlier, flies back to the West Coast, figures it out, gets on a plane, comes down here to play. So they've had a little bit of travel here in the last week. This is a game you should win. You know, if I'm sitting here on Monday, it doesn't matter how they lose. If the Cardinals lose, Monday's not going to be a pleasant show. It's not. It's going to be very disappointing. And, you know, the rest of the games around the league, I'm just not that excited about this weekend. Dallas and Atlanta is, in most people's opinions, the best game that's sitting around out there. I don't care about Dallas and Atlanta because I'm not in Dallas or Atlanta. Okay? If you will care about Dallas or Atlanta, move. Pretty simple. It's fine. All right, we're going to talk some college football on the other side. The game day, we'll get some information for those of you that are U of A fans that are going to want to be at game day tomorrow morning. How is U of A going to be at game day? And I want to talk about that on the other side because some schools that they go do game day when they show up to do it, it's total amateur hour because they just don't know how to react. Others, like the Alabamas and the LSUs, and the places that game day has been to numerous times, Notre Dame, Ohio State, they know how to act. Are we going to be embarrassed tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. when the national audience gets 3 hours of Tucson? And you ASU fans can insert your joke right there. I'm Brad Sussmat. It's a Friday show. We just have fun here on Fridays because we're just ready for the games. We've talked about it from all the angles. The game that I've not gotten that much into this week was and is ASU and USC. I've gone on the Sarkisian thing about how I really believe his job's in jeopardy tomorrow. They don't win. Yeah, I could completely, totally see another coach getting fired at the hands of Arizona State from USC. Lane Kiffin, the last time they were here, Lane Kiffin got blown out. Sark is in the same place. It's tenuous. And I'm not sitting here just reaching and grasping. The people that know that I talk to, whose opinions I trust, know that Sark is completely under the gun. If ASU is able to put in a whipping on him, that's one thing. If Sark is able to come here and win this week, I don't know if it closes everything off, but it certainly will calm things down. It will calm things down. Now, ASU, on the other hand, so as disappointed as I was in their loss to Texas A&M, and it was very evident what happened in that game, the end rushers for Texas A&M were able to get up the field and get after Berkovici. And we've talked about the offensive line play for ASU. Two games later against Cal Poly, New Mexico, neither one was tremendously impressive, but I did see steps. And when I say steps, it's not what New Mexico didn't do. It's what ASU did. And it wasn't just because it was New Mexico lining up across from them, okay? I get these people that say, and I think they're just U of A guys disguised in the wool when I start talking positively about ASU. It works both ways. I get it. If I say anything nice, I'm going to get pointed out. Oh, no. That's not how it is. No. I'm Speaker Boehner. I'm going to get run out like he was this morning, right? You're out of here. You're not saying what I want to hear. Not what's fact. Not what's reality. What I want to hear. So to that end, I saw Arizona State on the offensive front have a little more cohesiveness. I know that people are upset with Mike Norvell. It's funny how 2 years ago, Mike Norvell was thought of as the most important man outside of Todd Graham on this coaching staff and how he was a head coach in the waiting and how he was going to go to this place or that place. And now all of a sudden, when the offense sputters and struggles, Mike Norvell doesn't know what he's doing. Let's find out this week. They're 2-1. I'm not going to blame the Texas A&M loss on Mike Norvell. He wasn't out there trying to block. I do find it curious how DJ Foster isn't being used as what I thought he would be. When they said in the offseason, yeah, he's going to be like a Percy Harvin, they kind of are using him like Percy Harvin. He's not on the field enough. You know, I'd heard that whole Percy Harvin angle with DJ Foster, and it was a little nauseating, actually. When you start trying to compare a college player to an NFL player, that's purely, hey, if you're a recruit, you could come here and be the next one at this position. So, and recruiting is, it's kind of funny how recruiting works. I'm watching Alabama last week. They don't have a quarterback to save their lives. And they didn't really have a consistent quarterback for the last couple of years. And here's this Alabama, and they can't get it right. Here's USC, you know, big bad USC. Leonard Williams leaves, and they can't find anybody. There's nobody else across the country that can be Leonard Williams. So the pass rush for the Trojans is not very good. Is it that, or you just didn't recruit? If I'm looking at Alabama, they've just not recruited. If I'm looking over at USC, I don't want to hear about scholarship reductions. Those days are gone. That is an excuse. That is a cop-out. If I look at Arizona State through the first few games, yeah, I'm mildly disappointed with where they are. I think DJ Foster was told, look, you're going to come here and you're going to explode onto the scene. And it hasn't happened yet this season. But we're coming into week four. It's the start of conference play. Sometimes there's coaches that like to hold things back till they get into conference. If I'm sitting here on Monday and USC comes in and beats ASU and is able to do it in a fashion where Cody Kessler has his way, and Cody Kessler's had a good stat line so far. If ASU's not able to move against a leaky defense for USC, then maybe it is starting to look deeper into this with Mike Norvell. But for me right now, I'm not there yet. On the U of A side, how do you act when game day rolls into town? So I've been watching game day for years and years and years. And tomorrow morning, we're all going to get up, have our Saturday morning rituals. Part of mine is I'll take in about a half hour of game day. I'm always amused by the signs. The signs are always very funny. When Washington State's flag flies every week at College game day through the years, and if you've never watched game day, just look around. You will see the Washington State Cougar flag at every stinking one of these game days. How does that happen? Who is that person or people? How do they get the flag from one city to the next, to the next, to the next? You know, I was telling Eric yesterday, game day has turned into, of course, product placement. So they'll do a segment where they're lobbing cheese or cheese bean bags into a cornhole deal. Like, really? For Cheez-Its? That's what you've got? Yeah, that's really cheesy. You're right. It's a cheesy segment. It's brutal. But you got to find ways to work it in. What are they? Is Lee Corso going to put on Wilbur's head tomorrow? I don't know. I haven't seen him put Wilbur's head on before. Are there going to be signs that are embarrassing? Whenever we have big events here in our state, and for some reason, you guys know this, some reason our state, I love it here. I grew up in Southern California. I don't want to go back. No way. I'll go to the beach and hang out, but that's it. That state's jacked up. Our state's jacked up in a different sort of way. We got a sheriff who's kind of crazy, kind of loony. We got this stuff going on with immigration where we kind of look at people like, ooh, what are they all about? And we have, we just have things that are going on. And so when we have the exposure on us and this white hot light, are we going to do things the right way, or are we going to go through this and look tomorrow at some signs and say, man, that was embarrassing. That was not good. Is it going to be all sorts of U of A making fun of ASU, which is just ridiculous? It's silly. It's not even the storyline, but there's some people that just want to find their way into this. So I'll be watching some of that tomorrow. And there'll be more on game day as we, I think Jared's going to call in here in a couple minutes. He's on his way to Tucson. So Jared Nielsen, just be on the heads up. I think he's going to call in here in a couple minutes. So there'll be more to talk about on the weekend on that front. Tonight, there's actually a really good game, Oregon State and Stanford, that I'll be checking out. But the national stuff this weekend, it's not the best. That's why I think game day is out here. If USC had beaten Stanford, I think it would be USC and ASU. It's not, and I'm fine with that. We had Rich Rod on Monday. We had Greg Byrne on Tuesday. It's great for Tucson. It's great for our state. And that's what I'm all about. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. We will go to Vegas here, hopefully shortly, to hook up with Jimmy Vaccaro. There's some other and goodie too, the movies. Good Friday to you. Couple stories that caught my eye, and it's great when listeners shoot these over to me in the middle of the night and say, you ought to look at this, you ought to look at that, because some of these I had on my list, some of them I did not. One of them involves this whole deal of video gaming and sports. Now, I get it that some of you that are checking me out today, you are in your teens, 20s, 30s. And so gaming is something that for you, you look at as part of your sport, the sport of gaming. I have kids that are in range from 10 all the way up to 23, 24. and they are into gaming, and I get it. But it's moving now into mainstream. We made fun, Eric and I were making fun of a ASU gaming event a couple of months ago on ESPN2. Where, like, we turned it on, it was these guys who were gaming, and it was just crazy. Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And they were Sun Devils, right? TV ratings declining, media companies are relying on sports broadcasts to reach bigger audiences. So Time Warner is going to try to reach younger viewers by airing a new kind of sport, video game contests. TBS has just signed to start televising esports. And I'm not making this up. You're going to see esports become more mainstream now. And TBS is going to start televising them in games where gamers are competing against one another. They're going to start on Friday nights. And they're going to create a new competitive video game league. So not only are we seeing fantasy overtake football, and for those of us that are over, I don't know, about the age of 35, you look at it and say, well, football used to just be about your team. Well, no, really now all football is about is gambling and gaming. And so Time Warner's TBS is going to start televising esports in which gaming teams compete. This will be on Friday nights. IMG, William Morris Agency and IMG, and I'm actually represented by IMG. I don't think I'm going to go chase this one, but have created a new competitive video game league. They'll have 10 consecutive weeks of programming twice per year, and they're going to throw in ad sales and sponsorships. But this is coming to TBS. It's really interesting just to see how the sporting landscape continues to change. There is gambling in sports and lines, which has always been there, and I'm fine with that. Fantasy has taken it to a whole nother level. I don't know if I'm fine with it to the nth degree that it's going. And now TBS is going to do a gaming league. You know, and I'm just sitting here getting excited for all the college football and pro football this weekend, but it's really becoming less and less about just blocking and tackling and more about the game within the game. And some of it I'm fine with. You know, like this, Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now, South Point Resort and Casino, the wisest of the wisest that I've always said through the years, having Jimmy on the program. How are you, Jimmy?
Pretty good, my friend, and just glad to talk to you every week.
No, I'm loving to talk to you, too. Okay, let's get right to this. Tonight, a very good college football game tonight. Oregon State at home against Stanford.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. Obviously, Oregon State's a little bit coming up, and Stanford's coming off a huge, huge win last week. A lot of people were ready to write David Shaw off after he goes to Northwestern and lays an egg, but naturally beating USC team, and there has been some money that's showing on Stanford. But other than that, you know, the college scene's actually been pretty quiet, but a big, big win last week for Stanford.
BYU-Michigan first game up tomorrow morning, Harbaugh 2-0. Or 2-1.
Pretty quiet down the whole front with college moving, except for this game. This has been the biggest move of the biggest game of the day. BYU, what can you say? They could be 0-3 or 3-0. Last week, taking UCLA right down to the wire, and actually had a guy bet $52,000 to win $3,000 on UCLA on the money line. I think he was sweating a little bit with 3 minutes to go. But getting back to the question you asked, Harbaugh's getting a lot of attention, maybe a little bit too much. They're playing well. They're going to be playing better. They only put up 28 against UNLV last week. But the reason the BYU money, the Michigan money is showing is very simple. Three big games for BYU. Remember, they traveled to UCLA last week. Now they got to take a trip back to Midwest. The line opened BYU, a 5-point dog. Now they're up to 7. But I could see some buyback on BYU plus the 7. But that's the biggest move this week so far in the college.
Two games within our state. UCLA Friday night or Saturday night at 5 against Arizona and Tucson.
I wish you guys would do this every weekend. Saturday night, the get-out games. People just stay around when you got UCLA and Arizona, and you got USC against Arizona State. Let's just dial back 1 year. USC, the Hail Mary that he lost to on the last play of the game, should be entertaining. UCLA, a 3-point road favorite. USC, a 5.5-point road favorite. I think one of these two favorites will go down, but it'd be a great Saturday night here in Las Vegas with those four teams hooking up.
And I think that's Sarkisian, the one that's going down. He's feeling a lot of heat out there.
You're right.
Yeah. All right.
Sure is, my friend.
Cardinals 49ers on Sunday.
Well, you guys, obviously, you're not like one of those has-beens anymore. People are talking about making a huge move. You're a 6.5-point favorite. You should be a 6.5-point favorite. It's still hard to get a read on the 49ers. Played well the first week. But went up a Steeler team that might have been underrated going into the season. Roethlisberger just chewed them up pretty good. I think you guys will win the game. Look for a low-scoring game. That's just my guess. But you deserve to be a 6.5-point favorite. All teasers and parlays will be guided to your guys. Make no mistake about that.
Thanks, Jimmy, as always. Take care.
All right, guys.
It's Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. Goody at the Movies is next. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. He talked to Emily Blunt. There's a few actresses that I just stop. Like Sandra Bullock. I was in an elevator once, and Sandra Bullock walked in, and I had to call my wife afterwards and says, I'm sorry. That's all I could say. It's just the way it is. When Sandra Bullock walks in, you just stop. Emily Blunt's right there. And the Sicario, this is like Traffic from what I've heard. And I'll see if Bill thinks. Traffic was great, but this is the hot movie of the weekend. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to talk to Bill Goody Kuntz. Goody at the Movies. Bill Goody Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central Sports. And AZ Central in general. How are you, Bill?
I'm good.
Yeah? Yeah? You talked to Emily Blunt, huh?
Unless you know something I don't.
You're on the right side of the grass. You talked to Emily Blunt. So I want to talk to you about Sicario because I've heard that it's not Traffic, that it aspired to be Traffic. It could be as good as Traffic. And if you haven't seen Traffic, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But what did you think of this movie?
I think it's really good. It begins in Chandler, Arizona.
Really?
Although some really bad things happen in this version of Chandler, Arizona. That Emily Blunt plays an FBI agent. She's not Liam Neeson exactly, but she's sort of here lately. This and that Tom Cruise movie, Die Another Day or whatever it was. She's sort of reinventing herself as this sort of badass, you know, fighter type. And here she's an FBI agent, and she discovers this horrible stuff once that happened in Chandler. And I'm a sucker for this kind of thing. She gets called into the Phoenix office by her boss, and on the other side in the glass meeting room is her boss meeting with Josh Brolin, who's wearing jeans and a T-shirt and flip-flops, and Benicio del Toro, who is wearing a suit. And part of the deal is nobody knows who they work for. And but he recruits her to be on this team to help take down a drug cartel in Mexico. And Benicio del Toro, I don't think he ever really found out who he works for. But I just like stuff like that. She's like, who are you? CIA, what are you? And he's like, well, something like that.
No, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, you don't need to worry about it. But the thing with that, and Benicio del Toro is great. He's just like this threatening, menacing guy that barely ever says anything. But when he does, you listen. It's just like, there's this thing where he's trying to get this guy to talk. It sounds awful, but it seemed very effective. The guy won't say anything. He's like, look, you need to, and Josh Brolin's like, you need to tell me, you need to tell me this, that, and the other, who's on the take, or what cops are on the take, or whatever. And the guy won't do it because he doesn't want to get finished. And he just walks over to him and grabs, a big chunk of his face and just starts yanking on it. And the guy's just like, ah! He's like, I'll tell you. and then he lets go. Never says a word. Never shows any emotion. Never does anything. And I like roles like that. He's really good. But anyway, the whole movie's good. It's very intense and it's very violent. And you will, they go down to Juarez for pick up, this guy. It's like a witness they need to talk to. And, it's pretty tough, but I really liked it. I thought it was good. And
is it similar to Traffic?
No, it's not that kind of thing. It's not like all those interconnected stories and all that stuff. This is Emily Blunt being a really good FBI agent who gets sucked into this thing when she doesn't understand why. And you find out why at the end, but towards the end. But she, she wants to stop this cartel. But she also, the whole thing is at what cost? I mean, how? Who are the good guys here? Mm-hmm. What are the good guys willing to do to make something good happen? How bad can the good guys be? And she doesn't know, and she's not very happy with, you know, trying to find out. And Josh Brolin's just like, yeah, sure, you know, don't worry about the rules, man. We're all right. We're fine. Victor Garber's her boss, and he's pretty straight-laced, wears a suit and all that stuff, yeah. And she comes in to talk to him, and he's like, I just want you to know. He said, I can't really discuss who they are or where they're from, but what you are doing is okay. I know what's going on, and you are not out of line. And she's like, how can we not be out of line? He's like, you are not out of line.
So you talked to Emily Blunt, though. You did talk to Emily.
I did not.
Oh, you did not.
I did not talk to her.
Okay. I had a note here that you did. You talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I was supposed to talk to Emily Blunt.
You didn't talk to either one of these people. Eric's fired.
No, I didn't. No, I talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then after I hung up and talked to Ellen Page. I've talked to Emily Blunt before a couple times.
Oh, okay.
All right. But I talked to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is in The Walk, which comes out on Wednesday. And it's about the guy, Sunny Petit, who strung wire across the two World Trade Centers across it. And it was, which was the subject, by the way, of a great documentary called Man on Wire. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's pretty, I'll tell you something cool about him. And sometimes you wish that you'd hear more athletes be like this. He was on Third Rock from the Sun, and he made a lot of money because that show went on for a long time. He was a little kid, but he made a lot of money. And his thing, and he's always said this, and I talked to him about this again. He said, "I made so much money then that I can make whatever movies I want to now.
Mm-hmm.
I can pick and choose. I don't have to, you know, just take anything that comes to me because I need the money because I made a bunch. And it's refreshing because usually they won't talk about money, you know, or that kind of thing. And I always kind of like to." If I can, to try to work in a little bit of something about, like, you know, what it's like to be super rich.
Pawn Sacrifice. What is Pawn Sacrifice about?
It's about Bobby Fischer in 1974.
Oh, cool.
And when he played Boris Spassky for the World Championship. And, man, if you are of my age, you remember, and nobody would believe this now, but the United States back then used to kind of get interested in one thing and then get really interested in it and then move on. And that was chess for a while. It was also tennis for a while. It was also jogging for a while. But things weren't so fragmented. And everybody really was into chess. And everybody was really into Bobby Fischer. And what nobody knew at the time, or very few people knew, was that Bobby Fischer was insane. And he was a genius, a certified genius on the chessboard. Like, part of this is about game six of this championship where... Not only did he beat Boris Spassky, when they withdraw, they usually stand up and they shake their hands, you know, like nice game.
Mm-hmm.
When he beat Boris Spassky in game six of this thing, Boris Spassky stood up and applauded him, which never happened. Like, Fischer was taken aback. He didn't know what to do. It was supposedly the greatest chess game ever played. And they have all these, like, their seconds and everything who are, like, chess masters also, and they kind of figure out what they're trying to do. They play the game over on the side and try to figure it out. And both the Russian and Bobby Fischer's second are like, have no clue what he's doing. Never seen it before. And it's just genius. The problem is he was paranoid. He was delusional. He was an anti-Semite. He was bigoted. He was just a nut. And that stuff was starting to take over. And he misses the second game because he makes these crazy demands. The cameras are too loud. We need to play in a basement with no people around instead of in an auditorium, which they did. they actually did that. But we know we didn't know that stuff back then. But it's really fascinating. Tobey Maguire plays Bobby Fischer. He's really good.
So if you had to choose between and is that wide or is it at Camel View? Not Camel View, but
no, those are both wide. Those are both wide.
Yeah, yeah. If you had to choose between those two or something else this weekend, I'm thinking of doing something tonight because I know my football weekend is just actually this afternoon. Even you have anything this afternoon or tonight you'd recommend highly?
Well, Sicario is really good, but it's I wouldn't call it like a date movie, but it's
no, she likes blood really, and guts. She's fine.
Well, then she'll be fine. There's plenty of that.
Is it?
Oh, okay, but if you were of a certain age in particular, Pawn Sacrifice is really good. I mean, I've always thought of Bobby Fischer as a fascinating guy.
No, I have too. I have too. It's very interesting to me, and I saw Black Mass last week, and you were right on that, and. Yeah, I'm just thinking of doing something. Pawn Sacrifice, is it long? I don't need 2.5 hours.
No, they're both right about 2 hours.
Okay, I can handle that then. These 2.5 hour ones, just please go away. Just I don't need that.
Well, you're gonna start getting some of those. But
have you seen the TV?
Good there.
Have you seen the TV show yet?
No, I have not.
Come on.
Sorry, I will watch it before.
Come
I will
on.
Watch it before
I pass away, just watch it once and tell me what you think. It's fine.
If you crush it, thing,
from a reviewer's standpoint, I've asked you now just to take it in once and say, this is a train wreck. Or, no, this isn't really, really that bad. Because I value your opinion, in spite of what you may think.
I'm always taken aback a bit when people actually seem to listen to what I say.
Why do I have you on all the time? What do you think? What are you talking about? You're taken aback. What people value what you say.
Well, if I say something in the review, somebody will say, "Well, you said this in your review."
That's like that's why John Boehner got pushed out today. You know, you're never going to make everybody happy.
You can't make as much as mine. I don't care if I make them happy. I sometimes need a reminder that wow, people are actually listening to this. I should be a little more careful what I say. I will watch it, and next week we will discuss it.
Yeah. I won't be here next Friday, so forget it.
Then it's the best time to talk about it.
Huh?
That's the best time for me to talk about
it. Yeah, I know. Whatever. I'll talk to you
later.
We'll
be brutally honest.
See you later. This is Bill Goody Coons, Goody at the Movies. So the Diamondbacks, they're still playing, if you didn't know. I know everybody's into their football thing, but they're at San Diego this weekend, and I'm still paying attention. The Royals clinched the AL Central title last night, first time since 1985. But this is all, I'm just kind of meandering along through today. As I told you off the top of today's show, I'm so ready to get to tomorrow. Jared Cohen, he sent me a text, 1 o'clock, if those of you that are in Tucson taking us in today. 1 o'clock is when some things are supposed to be happening with game day down there today. And Jared's going down there to do a piece on that for sports360az.com. And then I believe he's going to a high school game there to see Sunnyside and Williamsfield, a Tucson team against a Phoenix team. Tomorrow, Jordan Hamm will be in Tucson for the U of A-UCLA game. Eric will be at the ASU-USC game tomorrow night. I will, on Sunday, be at the Cardinals game. And we'll have plenty of content up on the site throughout the weekend. 5 things here, a couple things there. We have a Friday night hashtag, too. For those of you that are going out tonight to high school football games, our Friday night hashtag has been trending each of the last 5 weeks. And it's actually been the number one trending hashtag. You see it there. Friday night 360 AZ. Whatever game you're at, it doesn't matter around the state. I had some people from Winslow. You don't give us enough love. It's Winslow. Help me out here. I can't be everywhere. Okay, if you're at the game in Winslow, if you're at the game in Payson, if you're at the game in Blue Ridge, it's fine. But it's great to see that a number one trending hashtag for not just a few minutes, but for hours, because there's so many people jumping on board, getting involved with that. It's Friday Night 360 AZ. Jared Nielsen is the person that runs this ship. I am Brad Sussmat. Have yourself a great Friday.